Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, if you've got your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? I'm really bummed I forgot my real Bible today. I was going to bring it. But whatever your Bible is on your phone, in your hands, let's turn to the book of Hebrews. It is a well-known verse that we're going to read together. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Are you ready? And it reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we must get rid of every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and run with endurance the race set out for us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Run with endurance the race set out for us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. I want to speak to a message today titled, "Fix Your Eyes on Jesus." Fix your eyes on Jesus. Super simple. It's the 1st of December today. It's nearing the end of the year, and we're about to go into this massive Christmas season, this holiday season, this winding down. And I just think it's so pertinent for us to, where the world is getting caught up in all sorts of things in this season, for us to maintain focus on what really matters, on what the season is about in the world and in the church. And that is to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And so I have been married to my husband Judson for 12 years now. We've got two little girls. Emmy and Haven, they are 2 and 6 years old. And on last Sunday, my husband, he just got home from a month in Paris. So, yeah, good on him, eh? He had a great time. He went on his own. he works in finance, and his company actually sent him to Paris to study for a month at a university. There's a lot of study happening. He sent me, anyways, crazy videos. And they sent him away for a month to study and learn. It was a phenomenal opportunity. People all around the world get selected to go here. And they fly in all the best kind of lecturers and top CEOs and business people, and they come and teach them about leadership. And I'd known about this for a year. So he'd told me about it the year prior, like at the start of the year. And so I'd known about this for a long time, and I knew it was a great opportunity for him. Not everyone gets that. I mean, it's fully paid for, business class flights, just everything. And so it's like the opportunity was too good. And so I released him to go. And I've been thinking about it all year, just stressed about it. Because I would say I have a high capacity when it comes to my work. I can get things done. I can carry a lot of things. But in the home, my capacity is this big. And I'm like, I need you. Don't leave me with the kids. And I was just so worried and so stressed about it. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I didn't know how I was going to survive. And the week leading up to it, I was just so down. I was, one, sad that he was going to leave, and just, I love him and his company and that, and then also just the idea of another pair of hands helping around the house and helping with the kids, and what am I going to do? And I was so sad, and I was so stressed about it and so worried. And I was actually at Nations College retreat, where we do this day retreat. We go and spend some time away with the Lord. And I had a few people come and pray for me. And they were praying for me about college. And they were prophesying over the college and speaking. And I started to get a vision for Nations College, like even greater than what I already had. And I could see what God wanted to do with the college and where he wants to take it, and how he wants to use it to send people out across the world and to plant churches and to send people and to release them into their destiny, their ministry in the marketplace. And my heart started to enlarge, and I started to see this season of a month where my husband is away as an opportunity to actually grow in intimacy with the Father. And I could hear God calling me going, you know, this is actually a divine opportunity for us to spend more time together. And not just that, but also spend more time with my kids. And suddenly my perspective just shifted. My perspective just changed. And as I began to fix my eyes upon Jesus and not fix my eyes upon my problems, upon my issues, upon woe is me, honestly, I was catastrophizing like crazy. I was like, what is going to happen to our marriage? Like, we're not going to be able to talk. Like, my brain was spiraling. I was like, the kids won't remember who you are. They're going to, you know, like, it was just going to bad places. And as I began to lift my eyes and fix my eyes upon Jesus, the whole perspective began to change. And as I said before, in this Christmas season, we think about gifts, and that alone, I've got so many nieces and nephews, the gifts. I've been shopping since October. And I'm hosting twice on Christmas Day, and I love it. And at Christmas just becomes this thing. And I want to remind us, like, to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And not only that, but I think we get to the end of the year, and it's a time where we really reflect. And I think for some of us, it's like, oh, it's been a good year. You know, the scripture that we read before, it says, run with endurance, the race set out for us. And some of us would say, oh man, I've had it such a good year. I feel like I have run with endurance. I feel like the race that's set out for me, that God had for me, I feel like I've grown in God and I've been pushing forward. And then I know that there's some people in this room and it's the end of the year and you're like, oh, I cannot wait. I'm crawling across the finish line. I can't wait to get to 2025, to be done with this year, because the year has been hard, because there's been issues, because things have gone on in my life. But as we begin to fix our eyes upon Jesus, I believe he gives us a new perspective. You know, he's up to something else. I want to speak into this today, because we often get distracted. There's a race set out for us. There's a pathway he's got for us. But the enemy would distract us with gifts and presents. The enemy would distract us with problems and issues, and maybe curveballs that have come in your life. Maybe not just one curveball that hit you this year, but multiple curveballs. And you feel like, I am barely keeping my head above water. And the enemy loves to do that, to distract us, to keep us off target and not on purpose with God. And there's a story in the Bible that I want us to read together in the book of Acts 16 with Paul and Silas, who were in a situation that was not looking good. And Paul and Silas were running hard for Jesus. They were doing the work of God. They were seeing people get saved and set free. But there were certain people in the city that did not want them to do that. And so they came up against them and started to persecute them. And in Acts 16, 22, it says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. And suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. And eventually the jailer and his whole family got saved. The story is actually phenomenal. Can you imagine? These guys were doing the work of God, like Tracy and Conan were talking about. They're going into high schools, you know. They're seeing God do incredible things. They're seeing people get saved. But imagine living in a time where when you did that, you would get persecuted. And these people were coming against them with wooden rods, the Bible says, and they were severely beaten for doing the work of God, and they were thrown into jail. This is a very grim circumstance. You know, this jail was not air-conditioned, clean, and ready to go. It was a dungeon. It was a cell. They were on the ground, and their feet were clamped into the stocks. And, you know, if I was them, and I was looking at this natural circumstance, I know exactly what I would be doing. I would be complaining. You know, I'm sure I'm the only sinner in the room. I know, man, that I would be complaining that, oh my goodness, what is going on, God? I was doing this for you and now I've been beaten. I am shattered. I have come to the end of myself. What is going on right now? And I would be whinging my head off. And the next thing I would be doing, because I am a very task-focused person, and I'd go, all right, what do we need to do now? What do we need to do to get out of here? Okay, I need to call my lawyer. I need to write my will. I might die here. I need to call the local pastor. I need prayer. You know, that's the kind of personality I am. I would be complaining, and then I would be trying to, like, figure out what to do. I think maybe you're like me, but I think I'm just thankful that Paul and Silas are not like me, because what they did was they began to lift their eyes upon Jesus. They began to fix their eyes upon God. And the Bible says they began to pray and sing hymns to God. And there's a Christian apologist, an early Christian apologist from many years ago, who said this. He said, "The legs feel nothing in the stocks when the heart is in heaven. The legs feel nothing in the stocks when the heart is in heaven. And though they were physically chained down, their hearts were actually in heaven." And so there's actually two realities at play here. There's the reality that you face in your life, an external circumstance that is coming against you. But there is a spiritual reality as well that's happening on the inside that is real, that you can determine. And I just believe that there are some people here today that maybe you've got situations going on in your life in the natural, and you've been here this year, this whole year, there's been stuff going on. There's been stuff coming at your life, and it's coming at you in the natural. And maybe financially you're dealing with different issues. Maybe health-wise, you've been managing this health problem all year. Maybe you've been having problems with your family and your children, and you really want them in church, or your grandchildren. And there's things going on in the natural, and you don't know how to make it work, and you don't know what's going to happen. And you know, the enemy wants us to fix our eyes upon those things. He wants you to fix your eyes upon everything that's going wrong in your life. He wants you to fix your eyes upon what a bad year it's been. And oh my goodness, I can't wait to get to 2025. But the Bible says we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. And I want to encourage you, we need to, when the diagnosis comes, we need to lift our eyes upon, off of our situation and on to Jesus. And when your teenagers are struggling at home, and they don't want to come to church anymore, and they're not talking to you, and that when that problem happens at work, and when that problem continues to present itself, and when you feel like your feet are in the stocks, know that your heart is in heaven, that we can lift our eyes off of that situation, and we need to lift our eyes and worship Jesus. You know, Paul and Silas had a phenomenal outcome that day. As they sang hymns and as they prayed, phenomenally, an earthquake came. The chains were broken open, and then salvation came to the house of the jailer, the guy that locked them into the jail, and there was a phenomenal outcome. But you know, we need to worship God, not based on outcome. And I don't believe Paul and Silas prayed and worshiped that night necessarily so that God would give them a good outcome. You know, we worship and we pray because we're children of God. Because that's who we are, because we were created and designed to do that. We weren't created to carry stress. We weren't created to carry chaos, but we were created to worship the Lord and to fix our eyes upon Him, no matter what the outcome is. And that's a sign of a mature believer, that no matter what the season is, no matter what the situation is, that we would continue to fix our eyes upon Him. And when we fix our eyes upon Jesus, we get to see from God's point of view. We're able to see from His point of view. And I don't know if many of you have social media in this church, okay? Maybe you have Instagram, maybe some of you have TikTok. The young people, they've got TikTok. I don't know what TikTok is. No, it's just videos, I think. And there's this kind of trend. I don't, like, you might have Facebook as well. So there's these videos and they're called Reels, and they're just these super quick videos. And people will put on these videos, you know, They'll be like Perth sunset. They'll film the sunset. And it'll be amazing. And they'll post it, but they'll write this little caption over it. And they'll write, POV, semicolon, Perth sunset. Have you ever seen that before? They write POV. What is POV? So POV means point of view. It's an abbreviation, guys. And it means point of view, Perth sunset. And obviously, it's the Perth sunset. Like, why are we writing it's from your point of view, first of all? It's a bit crazy. but this is what they do. This is what they do, okay? And so they write POV, Perth sunset, because they're trying to show you that from my perspective, I can see the Perth sunset. That's what they're trying to say. But, you know, imagine if God had Instagram. Imagine if God had a point of view. That would be wild, first of all. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is that as believers, we have access to a different point of view. And so you might see your situation and you see in the natural your point of view. But actually, in this world, there is the natural world, the world that you can see, that you can touch, that you can smell. You know, the chair that you're sitting on, it's real. But parallel to the world that we live in, there is a spiritual dimension as well. It is as real as the chair that you're sitting on, but it is another dimension. Dr. Yongyi Cho, he calls it the fourth dimension. It's like we live in 3D, but actually there's a dimension that supersedes it, the world that we live in, and it runs parallel and it's simultaneous to that, and it's a spiritual dimension. And what we need to do as believers is we need to lift our eyes to see this point of view, to understand, okay, my feet are chained up, but my heart is in heaven. I'm actually living in another realm right now. I live in the spiritual realm. We're not just living in the real world. We're not just humans. We're actually spiritual beings. And there's this incredible illustration of this in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. And there's a story about, I don't know if I've got it, but there's a story about Elisha. I don't, great, wonderful. There's a story about Elisha and his servant. Elisha is a prophet of God and he's got a servant. And it says, one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "And don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than there are on theirs." So what happened was the servant woke up and he looked outside and an enemy nation, the Aramites, were coming up against them, surrounding them with horses and chariots. And the servant was scared and he was like, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We're going to die today." And Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. For there are more on our side than there are on theirs." And then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. And see, there were two realities at play in this situation. One was the natural, where they could see that an enemy nation was around them, and that brought fear to the servant. But Elisha was a man of God, and when he saw the natural, he could also see the spiritual realm. And he could see that there were God's army was surrounding them. There were horses and chariots of fire surrounding them because there was a spiritual reality present. And you know, there is a spiritual reality present in your life. No matter what you're going through, God is fighting for you. And you might think, "Oh man, the enemy is coming up against me." But you know, God is actually working as well. He is fighting for you. He is working. Jesus said in John 5:17, he said, "My Father is always working and so am I." This is what Jesus said. "My Father is always working and so am I." And you know, what's he working on? What could God possibly be working on? Well, he's working in our lives. He's working in your situation. He's working in your children's life. He's working in your workplace. He's working in your neighborhood. He's working in your community. And I've got a family member that I'm praying for currently, a nephew of mine. And in the natural, mate, it does not look like, I cannot see any change or any improvement when it comes to him coming to know the Lord in a deep way. On the natural, he's the same kind of young adult, typical young adult guy. Really lost, really doesn't know his purpose in life, disconnected, that kind of thing. And I've been praying for him, and I pray for him every week and every year and year on year. And in the natural, like, it doesn't look like anything's changing. But you've got to see, we've got to actually lift our eyes, fix our eyes upon Jesus and see what he's doing in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. And so when I pray for him, I pray what God shows me over his life. And I declare from God's point of view. And everyone in this room has access to God's point of view. Every single person. It's not the perfect Christian. It's not the holier Christians that have access to God's point of view. Every single person has access. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. And so we have a capacity in us to shift our awareness onto what God is saying, onto what God is doing. And so I want to encourage you to ask the question in your life, what is God doing in this situation? Ask God, where are you? Yeah, when you don't feel God in a certain situation, ask him, where are you? What are you doing? What are you doing here? What do you want me to pray for right now? What is it that you want to show me about this situation? And as he gives you that spiritual insight, you have the capacity to then declare through prayer. Declare through prayer what the Lord is saying to you. It says in Matthew 6, verse 10, may your kingdom come. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as it is in God's point of view, as it is in the spiritual realm, as it is in the supernatural space, what you see, what God is showing you, as it is in heaven, you need to take that, open your mouth and declare it in the natural and declare it through prayer over and over again. And don't stop declaring it until you see it come to pass in the natural. Is there anyone at Port Kennedy today that you've got a problem in your life and God is showing you a picture of what it could be, of what he sees for it? You know, we need to actually partner with that. He's showing you that picture because he's calling you to partner with that and declare through prayer what he is showing you to declare. And sometimes it's so different to, you might be praying for something at a certain angle, but then when you lift your eyes to Jesus, you actually begin to lift your eyes. He begins to show you a different, he shows you something else that he's doing. And I remember last time I preached here, you might not remember, it was a long time ago, but I spoke about my little sister, Celine. She's works at this church. She's a phenomenal woman of God. When she was younger, she was diagnosed with alopecia. And so she's lost all of her hair. And it is really sad. And it was very sad when it happened. And so I began to pray for her when she was 12. She's 23 now. So I began to pray for her when she was 12. God, bring healing to Celine. And I still do. Bring healing to her situation. Come and heal her. But as I lifted my eyes to Jesus in that moment of prayer, God began to show me a different angle that he wanted me to pray over her. And that was that she would not lose her faith. And because she was brought up in church, but you can imagine that if something like this happens to you, and I could tell, something like this happens to you, it rocks your faith because you're going, God, why, you know, you begin to blame God. Why is this happening to me? Why aren't you healing me? And so I began to pray every day, God, I don't know how in the natural this does not make sense what I'm praying, but But please let this situation cause her faith to grow stronger in you. Let this situation draw her closer to you. Let this situation, let her see more of you in this situation. And I really felt like God answered that prayer because she recommitted her life to God. She got set on fire for the things of God. You know, she's a pastor now in this church. And that situation could have gone so bad, honestly. The enemy tried to come in and take her out. The enemy tried to come in and snuff out her calling and distract her from her calling. But as we see in the supernatural what God is doing, we can declare through prayer, and God might be speaking to you today about your situation, your loved one, from a different angle, from a different perspective, and we need to declare through prayer what He is saying. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.